As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5HETIDE.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5HETIDE.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Nature is very powerful. And, you know, if we think back, like during World War II, 40% of Americans were growing their own food and they had victory gardens. Today, less than 1% of America grows their own food. So this is an opportunity for people to grow their own food.
Doug Evans is the national best-selling author of the wildly popular book, The Sprout Book. Tap into the power of the world's most nutritious food, which teaches readers how to easily grow sprouts in their kitchen with minimal supplies. Doug is also a veteran and plant-based health movement pioneer who went from eating fatty foods for decades to eating a raw vegan diet almost overnight in 1999. After changing his eating habits, he co-founded Organic Avenue, one of the first exclusively plant-based retail chains in the country, and later founded Juicero, the first fresh farm-to-glass automatic cold-press juicer with the mission of bringing fresh organic fruits and vegetables to the home. Doug raised $120 million for Juicero and shipped over 1 million servings. So in this episode, I chat with Doug about his journey, how he went from the typical standard American diet in New York City, living that fast-paced lifestyle, to a raw vegan diet almost overnight. We talked about his health changes. We talked a lot about sprouting, which is the topic of this podcast, why it's so beneficial, how it's magical and amazing and fascinating, and how you can start sprouting at home. So I've played around with some sprouting, mostly using sprouting kits, and I really do enjoy eating sprouts, but I fell out of the habit. I fell literally out of just eating a bunch of fresh raw veggies during this busy season of my life. So I am going to be deliberate about restarting my sprouting habit and my fresh raw veggie habit, because I do admit that when I eat that way, I feel so amazing and vibrant and happy and joyful and light. But you do have to make it part of your routine. It's not just going to magically appear, because it is definitely not the default of life here in the United States. In most westernized countries, even going to the airport, you can't even find one like fresh thing. It's becoming a little more common, but it's still like a huge scavenger hunt. So if you, like me, have also fallen out of the habit of eating fresh raw foods, including them in your diet regularly, join me. Let's do it together. I'll do a few posts on Instagram to show you how I'm doing, but I definitely want to integrate this. And I hope that this episode will also inspire you about the power, but also how easy it is to do it. So I hope that you love this episode and that you have a very plantastic day. Remember that the information on this podcast is for informational and educational purposes only. It is not meant to replace careful evaluation and treatment by a healthcare professional. So if you have concerns about you or your child's eating, nutrition, or growth, please consult a healthcare professional. Doug Evans, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I am excited to be here.
Awesome. Well, I can't wait to learn more about sprouting and how we can make it easy and accessible for all of us at home. But before we get to your book and more about sprouting, I want to know how this all even began. You went from eating typical American foods in New York City, which is probably the mecca of all things American food, right? That's like yes. pizza and fries and everything. To raw vegan almost overnight. So why did you make that choice?
I mean, literally, like I loved life and I was having the time of my life. You know, at age 17, I joined the U.S. Army and I was a paratrooper in the Army. When I got out of the Army, I was a workaholic. And one of my rewards for being a workaholic was that I was able to buy a lot of food, eat a lot of food, eat any cuisine, go anywhere and just eat, eat, eat. And so food, I was very passionate about eating food. And then when I was 33 years old, seemingly my entire family was developing these chronic illnesses that ultimately led to death. And when my aunt got type 2 diabetes and they performed a double amputation on her feet. And then she died of complications with diabetes. And I had never made the connection between diabetes and eating. I thought like, oh, diabetes must be in the genes. You know, I heard like my grandfather might have had diabetes, right? And then my uncle died of heart disease. Then my mother died of stomach cancer. My father died of heart disease. And then my older brother, who's only 2 years older than me, became overweight, obese, diabetic, and then had the first of three strokes and a heart attack.
Oh my goodness.
So I thought like, hey, I was genetically cursed and that, you know, life didn't matter. And then I met someone who was plant-based. They were vegan and they had a similar family health history. She had a sister who died of leukemia, a mother who died of cancer. And she looked me right in the eye and told me that I was living a carcinogenic, heart disease, diabetic lifestyle. And she was so authentic and so sincere and so compassionate that she wasn't judging me. She was just saying like, hey, your behavior is going to lead to the consequences of your family members. And I was like, well, what can I do? And she said, well, you can eat plants. You could eat all plants. And my brain could not process that hypothesis. It was like incomprehensible for me because I was eating meat, chicken, fish, dairy, pizza, pasta, bagels, eggs, bacon, you know, every single day. Candy, chocolate, soda, ice cream, desserts from Little Italy. Like every day, I was just stuffing my face and I was enjoying it. And then, so she then said, well, do you like fruit? And I always loved fruit. I thought fruit was great, but we grew up relatively poor, lower middle income. So when we had fruit, my mother would, you know, dose out the cherries. Like we would get 12 cherries or we'd get a slice of watermelon or we'd get an orange or an apple. So we never had abundance of fruit. And she said, well, you can eat all the fruit you want, all the vegetables that you want. And I had already, strangely enough, I'd already been eating sprouts and drinking wheatgrass juice for a few years before that because the green color resonated with me on a vibrational level. So I remember being in the Union Square Farmers Market, seeing the wheatgrass guy, seeing the sprouts guy. And I was like, oh, that's terrific. That seems really fresh. I will add that to my diet, right? I wasn't going to just be a wheatgrass guy, but I was going to add that to my diet. So when my friend, Denise, said to me, I could eat all the fruit I wanted. And, you know, I was like, oh, wow. So in the next 2 week period. I went from eating anything to eating vegetarian because I still didn't, you know, connect all the dots. Then I went vegan, and then I went fully raw vegan because it made so much intellectual sense to eat things that were fresh, that were water-based, that were nutrient-rich, and they were sweet and flavorful. So it took about 2 weeks to get used to that. And then, like, I never looked back. It was just like full speed ahead.
I love that. You seem like you're an all or nothing sort of person, though. You're like grabbing the bull by the horns kind of guy. Would you agree with that?
Well, sometimes yes and sometimes no. Like with working out, you know, I've been like sitting on the fence for a long time. You know, so like I want to work out, and then like there's so much resistance, and you know, I resisted the cold plunge for years.
Oof. Like, yeah,
and pull ups I resist, and push ups. Now I actually have a routine where I'm doing it. So there's parts of my personality that are kind of all or nothing, and then there's other parts that I waffle, and I'm human. What happened with the food, like I knew that the food was cumulative and that food was poison. And when I started to look into pesticides and glyphosate, you know, and genetically modified foods and animal products and the link between processed meats and regular meats and dairy, like it just made sense. You know, I have a 15-month-old child, and she's deriving, you know, 60-70% of all of her calories from, you know, nursing, right? She's living on breast milk, and we're supplementing with lentil sprouts, garbanzo sprouts, alfalfa sprouts, broccoli sprouts, and pomegranate arils. So she's like eating fruit and sprouts. She'll eat a banana. She likes blueberries and so she's eating fruit and sprouts and breast milk. And it seems so natural to her, you know, to have fresh things. And for me, it seemed really natural to eat fruit. And when I removed the economic barrier to like, oh, instead of eating a slice of watermelon, I could eat a whole organic watermelon in season. And I derived pleasure from it. It was easy. I still don't derive pleasure from push-ups and pull-ups and running. Like, I don't.
Just keep going. Just keep going. It takes time. I can attest to that one. But I want to go back to something you said that I also noticed. I was browsing through your Instagram, and you have a very positive social media presence. You talk about all of the powerful benefits of, you know, foods and sprouts. And, you know, I was kind of browsing the comments, which can be for some people just going down a rabbit hole. And I noticed that people were saying the same thing that you believed a long time ago. They were saying, why are you trying to connect these diseases, diabetes, heart disease, to food? They're not related. People were like literally criticizing you, saying, stop blaming food on these diseases. They're not related, which to me and you, especially me as a lifestyle medicine physician, it's like, it feels like it's something you can't unsee, right? You know, 100% that there's a connection. You know that this food is affecting us, increasing our risk of chronic disease. It's not the only thing, you know, obviously, but it's a big part. Tell me a little bit about that. What goes through your mind? What do you feel whenever you see people over and over again, they're just refusing to accept that there is a connection between what we eat and chronic disease?
I think, unfortunately, they're like misinformed. So they've just been misinformed. And if we think about the food industry as an industry, a capitalistic industry that's geared towards profit, and we look at these organizations, associations that we think are designed to protect us, like the FDA and the USDA. And if you step back with a perspective of knowing that it's all about the money, follow the money, and that the industry lobbyists, I mean, the fact, like, there's no question those same people would know, like, there is a link between smoking cigarettes and lung cancer, right? I think it's pretty obvious at this point that the link between carbonated sugary beverages, added sugar, added oils, added salt, processed meats, regular meats, dairy, like these things, like nothing is more true than the adage that you as a pediatrician can speak to, you know, to a child, like you are what you eat. Like everyone understands, like you are what you eat. And if what you're eating was constructed in a lab, right? If you think about all of the artificial preservatives, coloring, chemicals that are being added to the food, and how easy it is for modern day food engineers to manipulate the brain with fats, oils, and sugars to trigger the dopamine and the pleasure sensors, that you can either choose to be independent thought and make your own decisions, or succumb to the manipulation of the food engineering coupled with the advertising and marketing, and lastly, just the societal aspects. Like you go out and they associate, you know, one way to sell a lot of candy is to make Halloween, you know, really cool with costumes and trick-or-treating and pumping out like these carcinogenic, diabetic, you know, foods. Crazy. And then if you think about just every day, how food is the number one addiction in the world, right? So I'm just aware that we don't have to gamble. We don't have to, you know, smoke crack, right? Or drink alcohol, you know, or have sex. Like these current addictions, we don't have to do, but we have to eat. And I can tell you from my own experience, and I'm a very disciplined eater, as soon as food enters my mouth, almost all bets are off, right? So my practice is like, I eat sprouts first. Right, I want to eat the sprouts first, and then I will add a dressing, or I'll add a ferment, or I'll add a fruit. But if I'm not thoughtful about what I eat, right, I don't eat like cooked food because it's too easy for me to overeat the cooked food. Just way too easy. Like if you know, like I'm not against quinoa or brown rice or cooked legumes. I could just tell you. For me, I will grossly overeat that. If someone has it, I will just eat it and eat it because it's so easy to eat and so flavorful. But I'll tell you, I don't overeat sprouts. Like I eat a lot, and then I have to eat it slow because I have to chew them well. I have to break them down and get the soluble and insoluble fiber broken down to feed my microbiome. But When my brain knows that I've eaten enough sprouts, it says, time out. You've had enough. It's okay. And so I don't overeat things unless there's added salt, oil, sugar. And if they were to use concentrated artificial sweeteners, artificial oils and flavoring, then that just, you know, you might as well be, you know, shot in the arm, you know, with an opiate, because it just sends you down this cycle. So I went down this path of doing this. This was very intuitive for me because I was like, okay, what can I do to ensure that I will be alive, that I could take this gift of life and enjoy it for as long as I can? And it was also obvious to me that the more extra weight I had, the slower I was, the more lethargic I was, the more inflexible. So I've always made a focus of being, you know, appropriate weight. And now that I'm 57, I'm focusing more on not just being like in shape. I want to be fit. So I'm forcing myself to run. I'm forcing myself to do calisthenics and movement and pulling because, you know, when, you know, my baby is growing every day, she's now 25 pounds. Like, that's a big kettlebell. And so she's only going to gain the weight. So I want to be strong so that I can, you know, appropriately carry her and be a good father.
Yeah, they definitely grow fast. And your body has to adapt to those little growing babies and toddlers because you keep lifting them. It's like one of the number one reasons for young moms, I think, having back pain is lifting their babies everywhere. So I want to go back because I'm just really curious about what you're saying as far as overeating. So whenever you first transitioned to eating this way, did you experience any health benefits yourself? And how do you know when you're overeating? Do you feel like you've always had the habit of overeating? And so you've just been conscious about that and been choosing ways to help you not overeat? How do you know whenever you're not overeating? I guess I'm just curious about how you define that for yourself.
Well, in the beginning, I associated food with a reward, with abundance, with success, with freedom. So food was definitely a reward system for me. And now, I used to eat until I was full, right? And then because I was, you know, I had this addictive propensity and I was eating food that was highly processed, I would then, even when I was full, I would eat on top of that, which I knew was made no sense because there was no way I needed any more calories. So that was key. But when you think about like eating food that is devoid of nutrition, it does make sense that even if one part of you is physiologically full, you would still be consuming additional food because the body may be searching for more nutrients and saying, hey, I know you're eating, but you're, you know, we haven't checked all the boxes yet, so keep eating. Now, it's somewhat intellectual for me, so I plan what I eat, right? I plan my fooding, I plan my food intake windows. So I will eat between 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. And it gets dark really quickly now. So it's easy to stop eating when it's dark because I want to go to sleep. But in that window of 11 a.m. to 6 p.m., I will schedule what I'm going to eat when. So if I have right now, the fall fruit are amazing. The pomegranates, the persimmons, the apples are really, really delicious. And I know that I can eat 4 persimmons and I can eat 2 or 3 apples and I can eat a whole, I yesterday ate a 2-pound pomegranate. It was almost the size of a mini pumpkin. And it was so rich. And I know that I have no concern, zero concern about the glucose and fructose that exist in fruit. I have no concern whatsoever about that. So I'm eating, you know, to get nutrients and I'm also eating to get calories because the other half of my diet, other than fruit, are sprouts. And sprouts are relatively low calorie. So if I were to look at a breakdown of my nutritional consumption, I'm between 80 and 90% carbohydrate and between 5 and 10% protein and 5 and 10% fat. So I know that if I'm eating within that framework, I can literally eat as much as I want. And by eating the sprouts and eating the fruit, my desire to overeat, the things that I would overeat today is if you gave me fresh, wet, medjool dates, I could eat 20 of them, right? And they're, you know, very high in sugar, but it doesn't matter. But they're also high in calories. So at 35 to 60 calories per date, I would need to do an extra 2 or 3 miles to burn off every few dates. So at this point, I will not eat them except, you know, I will eat them infrequently.
Interesting.
Yeah, I love dates. I feel like it's nature's caramel. I mean, well, the first time I had dates, I thought they were like some kind of made up thing. I was like, I can't believe this is like a natural food. They're just so sweet and so rich and just creamy and caramelly. I love them.
Yeah. So I think that was my approach. So I know if I'm overeating that I use a scale, right? I will weigh myself once a day. I use a smart scale so I can see and track my trends. I know that if I eat late, I'm going to be heavier in the morning, right? Because I won't give myself time. I'm pretty regular. So I will have two movements a day, which, you know, consistently, unless I travel, traveling will alter my movements, but it won't affect my overall digestion or health. So I really like to be, you know, have a routine as much as possible. And probably the greatest gift, you know, for me of, you know, having a child is that we go to sleep earlier. Like we co-sleep and we just go to sleep earlier.
Yeah, it's nice because they're also your alarm clock as well. So
I know you're busy. So am I. But do you have 2 minutes? If you have just 2 minutes, you have enough time to eat healthy, nutritious meals. The solution to your overscheduled life is Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. These meals are chef-crafted, fresh, and never frozen, and they are delivered straight to your doorstep. They offer a weekly menu of 35 options, including vegan and veggie meals. They also have 60 add-ons each week, including breakfast, snacks, and beverages like smoothies and juices. The fresh juice shots are so good. This week, I got to try the peanut Buddha bowl that had sweet potatoes, broccoli, quinoa, veggies, and a yummy peanut sauce, and the tangy citrus tofu bowl that included cauliflower rice, sweet potato, tofu, edamame, chickpeas, and a tangy citrus sauce. They were super yummy. My husband and my son loved them too. The meals feature premium ingredients, and because they are fully prepared and ready to heat, it eliminates the hassle of prepping, cooking, and cleaning up. It's an amazing option for those seasons in life that are particularly time constrained. You can also pause or reschedule deliveries to suit your lifestyle. In April, Factor is celebrating Earth Day all month long and will use Earth Month Eats badges on their lowest carbon footprint meals. Are you ready to try Factor? Head to factormeals.com/DrYami50. That's DrYami50 and use code DrYami50. That's DrYami50 and get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code DrYami50 at factormeals.com/DrYami50. That's DrYami50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Green Chef is the number one meal kit for eating well, delivering pre-portioned and prepped quality whole foods with limited process ingredients. Green Chef sends organic, fresh produce and chef-designed recipes in every box for satisfying, nourishing, and convenient meals that make it easy to stick to a healthy living routine. Find recipes for every lifestyle, including plant-based diets. Green Chef delivers quality whole foods with limited process ingredients, including low added sugar and sodium smart options. Choose from 80 plus flavor packed options and take back time in your kitchen with dinner ready in 30 minutes and lunch in 10. Try 15 plus new recipes every week. Green Chef will deliver everything you need to make convenient, wholesome, and delicious meals directly to your doorstep. Each meal kit includes pre-measured ingredients, some produce which is pre-chopped, and custom sauces that are pre-made in-house. They also provide the recipe cards, and the meals are really simple to make. It's a delicious, fresh, home-cooked meal without the hassle. We've really enjoyed using Green Chef, trying out all the delicious recipes, as well as saving time. It takes a lot of the work out of planning meals and gathering the proper ingredients so that you can just cook and enjoy your meal. It's a great option for busy families that want fresh, home-cooked, healthy meals to put on the table.
And I know a lot of us worry about waste and we do everything we can to reduce waste. So this may be one of your hesitations when subscribing to this type of service. Well, Green Chef also cares about the planet. April is Earth Month and sustainability is a core to the Green Chef brand. Green Chef offsets 100% of delivery emissions and 100% of plastic in each box. Green Chef also partners with Plastic Bank to collect ocean-bound plastic pound for pound for every box they deliver. If you're frustrated by lack of time to eat healthy and you are ready to try Green Chef and see how easily you can integrate it into your healthy lifestyle, go to greenchef.com/IAmHuman50, that's IAmHuman50, and use code IAmHuman50, IAmHuman50, to get 50% off plus 20% off your next 2 months. So go to greenchef.com/IAmHuman50 and use code IAmHuman50 to get 50% off plus 20% off your next 2 months. Green Chef, the number one meal kit for eating well. Equilibria is a woman-owned wellness brand with products intended to bring your mind and body back in harmony. They consider themselves a by women and for women company, and they now offer a nutrient-dense green powder called Daily Nutri-Greens. Myself and my staff here at Nourish Wellness all tried the Daily Nutri-Greens and we loved it. The Daily Nutri-Greens contain an immune antioxidant and detox blend along with prebiotics, probiotics, and over 35 fruits and veggies. It also contains other important nutrients such as B12, iron, zinc, and selenium. The Daily Greens are certified organic and all you have to do is mix it with water, but you can also easily add to your smoothies, your oatmeal, or your baked goods. The Daily Nutri-Greens are vegan, gluten-free, and non-GMO. And another bonus is that the packaging is compostable. Yay! When I tried the apple banana Daily Nutri-Greens, I was surprised by the pleasant and mild flavor. It was easy to prepare and drink and didn't leave any aftertaste. And I felt great afterwards. It's really easy to create a daily ritual around your green drink. Integrate it into your daily self-care routine. A green powder is one way to fill the gap in daily nutrition and is an easy and convenient way to get in your greens. These powders are a great way to add more nutrients into your diet during busy times, travel, and transitions in life when you don't have time or access to fresh green veggies. If you're interested in trying Equilibria's Daily Nutri-Greens, head to myeq.com and use code DRYAMI, that's DRYAMI, for 15% off Equilibria's Daily Nutri-Greens and much more. That's myeq.com and use code DRYAMI, DRYAMI, at checkout for 15% off site-wide today.
All right, well, let's move on to sprouting. So you said that you actually had started eating sprouts even before you changed your diet. So tell me, how did you discover sprouting and how did it become a passion?
Well, I was exposed to sprouting, and I would say for 25 years, I ate sprouts, and I always thought of them as a side dish, as a garnish, or as a snack. And then when I moved to the desert, and I live at Wonder Valley Hot Springs near Joshua Tree. It's equidistant between Los Angeles, San Diego, and Las Vegas. So it's the middle of nowhere in the desert. It was the first time that I experienced food scarcity issues. There were no health food stores, farmer markets, plant-based restaurants. Like my town was had only one restaurant. And it, believe it or not, does have vegan options in this one restaurant that's in town. But I don't eat them. I'll go there. They're very friendly. They allow me to bring my own pomegranates. So everyone's eating whatever they're eating. And I'm just eating my pomegranates, or I'll pull out a bag of sprouts. But when I was here, I had food scarcity concerns. And I was almost having a little bit of a breakdown, thinking like, oh my God, I bought this land, I'm living here, and what am I going to eat? And Whole Foods, the nearest Whole Foods was an hour and a half away, so not sustainable, and I didn't move to be peaceful, to be in the car for 3 hours at a time. So that's when I was meditating in the hot springs, staring up at the stars. And I got the idea. I was like, oh, I could just sprout. And it seemed like too good to be true. And I was like, huh? And then the download for, you know, I wrote this book, Living Out Here. I wrote the Sprout book, Living in the Desert. The download from the Sprout book came in one like powerful wave. It took me a while to write the book, but it was really three parts. Number one, sprouts were food, right? That it broke through the realization that I started to dream and fantasize and go deep into thinking about all the varieties of sprouts that I could eat. Alfalfa, radish, clover, broccoli, chia, lentil, fenugreek, all sorts of lentils, all sorts of peas, that there were literally hundreds of varieties of these seeds that could be sprouted and that sprouts were vegetables. So that was a big, powerful insight for me. Number two, sprouts were vitamins and minerals. So your podcast is technical, so I'll talk a little in depth, but every single sprout contains every single amino acid to form complete proteins. Sprouts contain micronutrients, phytonutrients, polyphenols, bioflavonoids, antioxidants, prebiotics, soluble and insoluble fiber, that they were much more effective from a nutritional consumption perspective than synthetic multivitamins or extruded protein powders. That you could take one handful of, say, sprouted garbanzo beans and have 20 grams of protein in them. And it would also be bioavailable and you'd get the fiber and other parts with them. So that was really powerful. And then the third was just the most mind-boggling thing for me, was that sprouts were medicine, that they contained these bioactive compounds that could kill cancer cells, the glucosinolates and the isothiocyanates, that it was well known that cruciferous vegetables had these anti-cancer properties. And if you were to drill down, broccoli had the most of these anti-cancer properties with a compound that was formed from consuming the broccoli called sulforaphane. Well, it turns out that when Dr. Jed Fahey was searching for which variety of broccoli had the most of this sulforaphane, it turns out it wasn't the variety of broccoli, it was the stage of broccoli. And the stage was three-day-old broccoli sprouts, and that the broccoli sprouts could kill cancer cells. They could detoxify benzene from the lungs. They could regulate insulin levels in diabetics. They could create heat shock proteins in the brain. And of course, from a weight loss perspective, sprouts are very high in fiber and low in calories and low in fat. So the more sprouts you eat, the more weight loss you could have. So there was this whole other like rabbit hole that I could go down to. And that inspired me to write the Sprout book and inspired me to find the best sprouting seeds and the best sprouting equipment and to come up with my mission that gave me like kind of whipped me into full alignment that I need to be the voice of these sprouts. I need to get this message out there. I need to deal with trolls, talk to doctors, talk to nutritionists, talk to NGOs, and I look at sprouts. So another amazing thing which just triggered me about is that you can grow sprouts without soil, without sunshine, without fertilizer, and you can grow them in days. And so when I looked at that, it meant that everybody could have sprouts. And if you looked at the cost, like if you went to a health food store, you could buy sprouts for $5 a serving. But if you grow them on your own and you were to buy seeds from the sprouting company or any organic sprouting seed. You'd spend like 50 cents a serving, and in a few days, you're getting $5 worth of value. So it meant that anyone could have access to this super high quality, nutritious food. And so life just could move me in that direction. And then everything I looked at from an opportunity perspective, nothing seemed as exciting to me than to share this message.
So you've become the sprout evangelist.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the sprouts took over my microbiome. They've now taken over my brain. So I'm in service of the sprouts.
You know, it's possible. It's kind of like that fungus that takes over those ants in the jungle and makes like the zombie ants. Have you heard of that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so maybe, but this is like better though. You're not a zombie. You're very healthy and thriving. So it's kind of the opposite.
Yes. Well, look, nature is very powerful, right? Nature is very powerful. And, you know, if we think back, like during World War II, 40% of Americans were growing their own food and they had victory gardens. Today, less than 1% of America grows their own food. So this is an opportunity for people to grow their own food. And I could see, like, it is so fascinating to watch children watch their sprouts grow and see how literally every time, if you look at the sprouts twice a day, every day, you will see visual indications of growth. And within less than a week, you will see exponential growth. Like they will grow 10x their time. And it is a true miracle. I mean, I don't know how else to say this is a miracle in your hand. Like you don't need magic tricks. You don't need anything else. You get seeds, you get water. They sequester carbon and oxygen from the environment and they're growing. And the interesting and fascinating thing about their growth is that it's not just water weight. They're not just absorbing the water. They are increasing their dry weight. And when you were to take something as simple as a lentil, and you were to sprout a lentil, you double the antioxidant levels, you triple the vitamin C, you quadruple the soluble and insoluble fiber. So it's unbelievable, and that everyone gets to participate in their consumption.
Yeah, it's very empowering too. And I think we have become very disempowered when it comes to our food and our food system. So this is something definitely that can put the power back into each person, each family. But I guess, I mean, I'm not very good at like physics and all these things. I don't understand how, I don't know if you're able to explain this. How does sprouting increase protein by 20%, increase all the vitamins and stuff if basically you're just giving it water? I mean, how does that work? How does that happen?
Well, it turns out that a seed is a complete living organism in a dormant stage. And if we were to go inside the seed, a seed has an endosperm, it has an embryo, and it is waiting for activation. So it contains the potential of the full mature plant. So in that first week of growth, the seed will go through a biological transformation similar to that of trying to explain to a child a transformation from a caterpillar into a butterfly. Like what's happening there, right? So the seed has all the energy that it needs without fertilizer, without anything to actually grow. So it's actually transforming and doing this metamorphosis by consuming the water, the oxygen, and the carbon with its life force is able to go from a seed into a full-grown sprout in that 1 week. And the increases in the micronutrients and the phytonutrients and the amino acids is a result of this biological metabolic transformation. So it is very deep. But the sprouts are actually generating heat, like they are going through this transformation, and you could see the root and the shoot forming out. And the sprouts are so smart that if they're not getting enough water, they will shoot out additional root hairs, will shoot out from the roots, so they're able to absorb more moisture from the air in this effort for survival. So how does it work on a full level? It's just part of the transformation. And if you were to do a nutritional assay every single day from seed through sprout, the nutritional profile would vary every single day. And so it's not quite a mystery, but it's not easily explainable, you know, outside of, you know, the botanist labs. And, you know, I've worked very closely with Dr. Greg Gilbert at University of California at Santa Cruz, who's very almost poetic in his description of this. But for me and for the layperson, you get to see it in front of your eyes, right? So the proof is right in front of your eyes.
It's super fascinating and amazing. And I think you've given us plenty of reasons why we should be sprouting. So tell us, how should we start sprouting? What tips do you have for people that have never sprouted anything in their lives, at least not on purpose?
Yeah. I would say the easiest way, and I've been working on this for 5 years, that a lot of the sprouting technology was the same passed down for hundreds of years, that people were using a mason jar that was designed for canning, for sprouting, and then you could use a filter, whether it was cheesecloth or plastic or stainless steel. So I put together a little kit, you know, that is sold at thesproutingcompany.com. And it's very simple. And you can get the seeds, you can get the filter, you could get a drip tray and the stand, all integrated kit packaged up that looks pretty. And then sprouting seeds, wherever you get them from, should be organic, should be tested for pathogens, and should be tested for a high germination rate, so that you're starting off with a simple process. But it is really so simple. You take a vessel, you add the seeds in it, you add water, you let them soak overnight, you rinse out the water, you put in fresh water, and let it stand at an angle to drain off the extra water, and you rinse them twice a day, and you will get healthy, beautiful sprouts.
And then is every kind of sprout have a different day that you should harvest it, or is it all about the same?
It's a great question, doctor. So the legume sprouts grow much faster. And so you can have sprout legumes in as little as 3 days. And the garden variety, the alfalfa, the radish, the clover, they could grow up to 7 days. Turns out the broccoli, if you're eating them for food, broccoli sprouts, you would let them grow for 5 to 7 days. If you were consuming them for medicinal purposes, the optimum day to eat them is day 3. So because as the broccoli sprout grows, that every seed has a finite amount of glucoraphanin, and as the sprout grows, it's actually being diluted. So the earlier stage of that particular compound is better. Now, one would ask, well, why don't you just eat the seeds? Well, the seeds are designed to protect themselves. And so they have enzyme inhibitors, there's lectins, there's phytic acid and trypsin. So you want to soak them, germinate them. And by day 3, the seed has already gone through the transformation and is now a vegetable.
Yeah, that's fascinating. In my mind, I'm thinking of a graph of, you know, maximum nutrient proportion within that broccoli sprout. And, you know, day 3, it's up at the top, and then it slowly starts coming down, you know? So you want to pick depending on what you're using it for, you're going to pick the stage that's going to benefit you. So once you get used to it, are you able to just like eyeball them? Like for you, I'm sure that you can just kind of see them and you know when they're ready.
100%. It's so like I've now conservatively sprouted millions of sprouts, like millions. And so it's very easy. And sprouts are my friend. And I love sharing the message. I went to the Running Man Festival and I brought like 20 pounds of sprouts. And I was walking around with tongs, handing people sprouts in their bare hand, and they were just eating them. It was just such a joy.
Yeah, the sprouts have definitely taken over your body and your brain. I can attest to that. Okay, so here's my next question. You're talking about just straight up eating sprouts, which I think most people in the United States are not ready for that yet. Because, you know, like I will have adults in here all the time saying, I want my child to eat vegetables, but I don't like vegetables myself, you know? So tell us, what are the different ways that we can eat sprouts? And is there a variety that's more like beginner friendly? Because I know some sprouts, they just have more bitter, more spicy flavors. So for these people that they're like, okay, I want to do this. I'm ready to eat healthy foods. How can they ease into the sprout life?
So in the sprout book, I hired Oprah's recipe developer to create 40 recipes with me for the book. And so there's a lot you could do with them and they're in the book. So that's one thing. The easiest sprouts to eat are probably alfalfa sprouts and lentil sprouts, right? They are crunchy. They are light. They are flavorful, easy to eat. And what I would recommend is people start small, finish big, and start adding sprouts to your salads, to your cereals, to your sandwiches, to your wraps, to your smoothies, and incorporate sprouts into your diet. And then, you know, a big move would be having a salad where sprouts are the vegetable in the salad. And then you add whatever gadgets and carrots and peppers and mushrooms and dressing, but you use sprouts as the base of the salad. And that, like, once you get to that level, then it's like you're home free, because then you could find a way of consuming several servings of sprouts every day.
That's expert level. But what you're saying is that you just eat them plain. Like you just have like your handful or however many amounts of sprouts before you even eat the rest of your meal.
Yeah. Yeah, I like them and I take them with me. They're very fast food. You could see I did a video of like fast food where I just grabbed a handful of sprouts and I'm eating it in the car as I'm driving. But I dress them up. And I also love nori seaweed, like the raw nori seaweed, because the seaweed is an algae and the nori seaweed is a good source of EPA and DHA, medium chain omega fatty acids. So the chia and flax seeds have ALA, but the nori seaweed has the EPA and the DHA. And so I like that. So I will make little wraps and have sushi with sprouts and seaweed and tahini and ginger and maybe wasabi, which is also a cruciferous vegetable that I have a kind of a love-hate relationship with the wasabi. Like it burns and it's spicy, but I seem to like it. So
it's like playing with fire.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, do you stick some avocado in there too? Because if so, I'm in.
You can stick avocado in. I used to eat avocados like they were going out of style. And now I've lowered my fat levels significantly. So now I'll have, you know, a slice of avocado or a quarter avocado, as opposed to the old days when I was eating three or four avocados in a serving.
And then I just want to make sure that everybody's clear and make sure I understand properly too. The best way to get nutrients from sprouts is in the raw form. So we really shouldn't be cooking with them. Is that correct?
Yeah, what happens is when you cook them, you know, certain vitamins are susceptible to heat. And so you lose the water content and you lessen the a lot of the vitamins like vitamin C and the like. Now, there is some research that says if when you cook a tomato, you increase the lycopene and lysine from them. But in general, I don't cook anything. So I really like eating things raw, and sprouts in particular are most beneficial raw.
Okay, got it. All right, you already convinced us that it's very inexpensive to sprout and that can actually save us a lot of money and give us a lot of nutrient density. So that's great. But can sprouts ever be dangerous?
Well, I published my first peer-reviewed white paper on food safety. So I worked with Dr. Jed Fahey and Jack Smiloff, where we studied foodborne illness for the last 25 years. And it turns out sprouts are as safe, if not safer, than any other food. And especially homegrown sprouting is particularly safe. But what's important is to be present with your food. Wash and sanitize with hot and soapy water your equipment. And you can surface sanitize the seeds using a rapid oxidizing agent, whether it be hydrogen peroxide or white vinegar, you know, or sodium hypochlorous. And if you were to soak the seeds in the agent for a few minutes and then rinse them off, you could be removing any microbial activity on the surface level of the seed by up to 2 million to 1. And then you're starting with something very safe.
That's good tips. And I'm sure this is all in your book as well, right? So
yes,
that when we
course.
Start, we're doing it in the best way. Yeah, this is great. I mean, this is really amazing information. I have known for a long time the importance and the power of sprouts, but haven't gotten around to doing my own. I've used some of the sprouting kits, which has been great, but it doesn't really include like legumes and things like that. So I definitely want to start trying it out for myself. So this is great. And I hope that everybody that's interested in it will purchase your book. And also on Kindle this week, it was on the Kindle, like if you have the Kindle subscription that you can download it as part of the Kindle membership. So that was great. Okay, Doug. So what do you wish more people knew?
I wish more people knew that you actually could live a healthy and happy life eating raw fruits, vegetables, seeds, nuts, seaweeds, and sprouts.
I love that. Succinct. And how can we connect with you and purchase your book, The Sprout Book?
I would recommend buying the book at a small local bookseller. Just tell them you want it and they'll have it in a few days. Or it's on Amazon, it's on Books a Million, it's on Barnes & Noble. So unbelievable. You know, for a first-time author, I was really surprised that the book became the number one best-selling vegetarian book, vegan book on Amazon, you know, and stood there for a while in that. So I would recommend that. And you could connect with me. I'm on Instagram at Doug Evans. And you could sign up for my newsletter at thesproutbook.com. And you can follow me on TikTok and under the name Sprout Wiz, SproutWiz. And you could find me, you know, at Wonder Valley Hot Springs. So this is where, you know, I spend most of my time.
Sounds like a great place. Do you have the sprouts dancing on TikTok or what's going on TikTok?
I mean, I have over 225,000 followers on TikTok. So I'm connecting with the 75 million young people about sprouts and sprouting and food sovereignty and just sharing the message with them. And so they're excited. So I like that. But they're not dancing. I'm pretty much like my same self all the time, you know, on all platforms.
On all platforms.
Yeah.
I love it. Well, thank you so much for spreading the message, for being the Sprout Evangelist. And I wish you much luck. And I hope that you're able to reach all the ends of the earth with your Sprout message. Thank you so much for being on the show today. And I hope that you have a very plantastic day.
Oh, thank you so much, Dr. Yami. Thank you.
Hey, veggie lover. I hope that you loved today's episode. Will you take a second and do me a huge favor? Please subscribe to my podcast so that you never miss an episode. You're the reason I'm here, and I want to share it all with you. Thank you for listening, and have a plantastic day.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Save big money on your outdoor project now at Menards. We have everything you need to keep your outdoor power equipment running smooth, so you can keep that lawn in tip-top shape or enjoy some time on your boat. Right now, all FVP, lawn and garden, and marine batteries are on sale through May 5th. Check out our entire selection of FVP batteries today and view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals.
Save big.